welcome to episode number 92 of the Peer Geek Podcast. And as always, it's an absolute pleasure to have you here. Now, I'm joined today by Mike Ginnicola. How are you?
Good, Jared. Thank you for having me here.
Absolute pleasure. Now, we're sitting here doing a little bit of time zone math, trying to work out where we are in relation to each other. But for our listeners, where are you based and how long have you been in that area?
Yeah, but I'm in Connecticut in the United States, and I've been teaching here in the area for 20 years. Originally, I grew up in Ohio.
Oh, nice. So, I mean, is that something that you can map back to your childhood as having an interest in wanting to be a teacher, or did this come about through a different path?
Yeah, I always had a natural affinity for all things sports, physical, so it seemed natural. Then I ended up going in the Army to get college money, and that kind of cemented it even more, just really loving the movement of everything.
Yeah, so, I mean, sport-wise, growing up, was there a particular sport that you really enjoyed, or was it just an all-round passion?
I've been playing volleyball for about 30 years now, so
yeah, I mean, passion of mine. And that's something that you still do to this day?
I do. Not as well as I used to, but definitely keeping up in my mid-40s.
Yeah. Is it one of those sports, though, like, because you have had such a lifelong enjoyment with it, that it's one of the lesser enjoyable things that you like to teach, or do you really like that moment when you get to share your passion with the kids?
For about 15 years, I really did enjoy teaching it.
Yeah.
But now I've really moved on to just, you know, ever since Twitter and social media and the PLN, just branching off to all types of striking, making it even more fun for the students, better experiences for them.
Yeah. I mean, similar for me, like I grew up with track and field and I, you know, loved it, but just that teaching of it is a completely different thing altogether. And it was one of my lesser things to teach. And I gradually moved away to enjoying other subject areas and other things, with tech being one of those. And I know for you, you've gone through this journey in the last few years, and it's been great to see with a lot of sharing of stuff that you're doing in your classroom practice. So my question is, when did you get started with this whole social media journey, and how has it helped you in your practice?
Yeah, well, you're going to make me feel like a dinosaur here. For 20 years of teaching, I only joined social media really about a year ago. Twitter, I think, was last April. Mm-hmm. So it's about 15, 16 months now. And that set me on my course from there. I was invited to Voxer, the PE Essential Facebook group, and kind of went from there.
Sure. So, I mean, how did that even come about? Because, you know, there's way more teachers offline than there are online. And, you know, it's often difficult to even know that these worlds exist. So for you, was it like, did you go to a conference and stumble across it, or was it just a word from someone who was on? How did that happen?
Yeah, it was actually our Connecticut AFERD, which basically Shape America for Connecticut. And someone had a presentation, a session on using social media. And I was like, wow, I definitely have to get out there and see how it is. And I fell in love from the first week.
Yeah. I mean, I've just watched what you've done in the last year or so. And it's been great, the amount of sharing, the amount of discussion and collaboration that sort of comes through the channel. And you can see your passion there. And, you know, obviously you've got this passion for technology as well, and a particular gamification. So where did that technology passion come from? Because it seemed like you're really interested in it, even though you didn't or were not aware that social media was there for you to share that passion with.
Yeah, I think the first issue was, like a lot of other school districts, really having a low-tech situation. It's mm-hmm. almost like your district doesn't want you to use it. They're afraid of it. And I really pushed back, and I think that once I got into it and started to see how powerful it was if used correctly.
Sure.
I wanted to show my district that, you know, even in the gymnasium, it can be done and done really well and be a powerful tool for learning.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. So do you remember what that first thing was that you saw and thought, you know, I have to try this out, and, you know, you pursued it and added it to your classroom. What was that thing?
Oh, yeah, definitely. The first thing I tried was Plickers.
Wow.
Cards, yep. Assessment, and just an amazing.
Yeah.
Really just took to it immediately. Yeah.
And was it, I think, because it works really well in that situation where you don't have a lot of devices and, You've got your own device so you can do the scanning, but you were able to capture some authentic assessment data. Was that the context?
Definitely. The assessment right there, formative, even summative if you really wanted to, was powerful because there aren't many ways to collect data that quickly.
Yeah, that's the real benefit, the speed of the capture and the fact that you can be utilizing plickers, but you don't actually have to eat into the activity time. You can have that right at the end of an activity or at the end of the class, and it's just a very easy way to get a snapshot of what's taking place. And there are some amazing things that people are doing with it. And I mean, I'm thinking very heavily about something that you shared recently, and I think you even have a name for that. What am I thinking of? If you can read my mind.
Are we talking about Plickers magnets or plagnets?
We absolutely are. I think you might have to trademark that term. What is a plagnet?
Well, originally I was watching Joey Fite go through his magnet transformation and really keeping track of student learning. Mm-hmm. And when I tried it, I was like, there's no way to really collect this data. You know, you can take pictures and manually input it, but it just didn't have time for that. So I said, hey, let me throw a little mini plickers on top of these magnets, and then the student, I can instantly, within seconds, collect the data that the students are, whatever activity it is that you're doing.
Yeah, so you've sort of got the benefit of that magnet and how easy it is for the students to submit their answers and visually sort them and so forth. But then you've got the plickers component, which was essentially you just stuck them onto the magnets, and then people could use the Plickers app to scan the magnets and then get that data recorded. I think that has exploded since you released that. And there's a lot of different variations that have popped up in the recent weeks. And it sort of speaks to how simple an idea is when it catches on fire like that has. What have you seen people do in the recent weeks with that task?
Yeah, they're very versatile. Mm-hmm. You can use them just as regular plickers, answer devices, or as exit tickets. But I really like to use them. I've seen a lot of people explore the student self-paced progressions where the kids are going through the lessons and keeping track of their learning and turning the magnets, the plickers, to kind of chart their level of progress. So yeah. I'm not getting it all the way up to the wow category that Joey kind of made famous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I mean that speaks, that sort of progressive nature that you hinted at there speaks to the gamification stuff that you've also got a really fond affinity with. What's gamification all about, and why do you love it so much?
Yeah, gamification. I don't even remember exactly. Probably on Twitter where I saw it for the first time. Sure. It's really just taking the best parts of why everyone loves video games or even board games, mm-hmm. and taking those details, the parts and pieces, and putting it into a non-video game like education or business, and really it just draws people in at the same engagement level you would have in a video game.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I know you've done some really good entry-level things with that gamification concept, and like, because you can take it to extremes, can't you? You can have all varying levels of gamification, and a lot of people think that they have to go to that level to get any value. But the thing that I love about what you've done is you've made some really nice on-ramps for people who might just be getting started, you know, with the idea of gamification in their classroom, and made it achievable for people. So what's a very simple way that someone could take this gamification word that they keep hearing and be able to roll that out into their classroom and see some of the benefits that it produces?
Yeah, really the easiest way to get started is to take a unit or a lesson, like let's say jump rope, and giving the kids different levels of success, maybe martial arts belts like I got from Ryan Armstrong, mm-hmm. and giving them some different criteria, give them some choice and voice in how to get to each belt level, but let the kids go through and kind of chart their own progress. And as they work their way up to the black belt, that status and the achievement, it's really amazing what you see with them and the engagement and focus in a lesson.
Yeah, I think you made a really good point there that this isn't, let's go and put everything that we do for every unit into a gamification theme, which sounds extremely daunting. It's the opposite. It's let's pick a unit that makes sense for a gamification element. And in this case, you mentioned the jump rope example that has logical progressions anyway, and then you're mapping what was it, badges or belts to each of those steps that they take?
Yep, yep. Different belt levels for martial arts, basically. Ninja belt, jump rope, they call it.
Amazing. And then how would they collect those belts as they achieve them? Like, was there a process that involved, that you involved in that?
Yeah, well, for me, I was actually using the Plickers magnets, so they were moving their magnets on the belts on the board, and when they left, they would get a laminated belt of that color to take with them. Simple, but amazing.
Yeah, so it's got that hybrid of some offline components just to make it super easy, but then you're capturing some of that data with the use of Plickers. Or where could you take it next? So if someone had introduced that progressive element to their class and they wanted to further gamify it, what sort of things could you do?
Oh yeah, the rabbit hole is really deep if you want to use spreadsheets. I started with Classcraft, which was pretty deep in itself, like an all-year theme essentially. I turned my whole entire gym into a castle. It took about 10 days and the kids loved it. You could use powers in class. They get to maybe switch places with someone or skip a station. A lot of neat things you can do with it, but you can get down to collecting points and spreadsheets and having leaderboards. Mm-hmm. It can be pretty intensive if you want.
Yeah, yeah. But I guess the real lesson is there that it doesn't have to be 100% every element of everything that you do is game, you know, has gamification built into it. It can be those core components and you can sort of make it as big or as small as you like, but the reward is the students' engagement. And have you noticed that they tend to sort of come here with a completely different level of enjoyment from activities that maybe previously weren't so as enjoyed?
Definitely. I mentioned that ninja belt jump rope lesson, grade six, typically, because I teach K to six, typically the older students, not always as engaged, obviously, as they want to be. They don't want to sweat. But when I did that gamification, the ninja belt one with them, I was truly amazed with how much sweat I saw. I've never seen these kids work so hard in my life. So I was a believer at that point.
Yeah, for sure. And you can definitely take it to the extreme with Classcraft. I know you did a video for the PE Geek TV on Instagram with us. I think it might've been last year where you sort of gave a bit of an overview of Classcraft and sort of how that works. But it is essentially a turnkey out of the box platform that you can wrap around your classroom shell, so you could take it to you know, the next level. But I just love the fact that there is a very, very simple ways to get started with gamification, and it doesn't have to be this huge all-encompassing thing for there to be value. So with gamification and obviously with Plickers and so on in your world, is there room for anything else? Are there things that you're experiencing and exploring at the moment that you think people might enjoy?
Well, right now, I'm actually focused this year on using like Responsive Classroom as a culture changer to kind of help out, because I had a lot of people that were, you know, using Plickers. Well, that's not always anonymous, and are your kids making fun of each other in class? And trying to build that culture around everyone being accepting of all the differences, and then further trying to push the technology use with the Plickers magnets. I want to start giving them multiple stations to work at and multiple locations where they're using the magnets, so they're a little bit less centralized, so they are spread out more, just to maybe help other people that are a little bit more worried about anonymous skill development with students.
Yeah, nice. So what are your essential tools then? Because, I mean, you've mentioned a couple of things in here, and, I mean, what would you typically walk into your gymnasium with during most sessions?
Well, I definitely think that a projector, and I actually use two at some point, is essential.
Yeah, I think so too. It's a big game changer. It just makes it a social thing almost, because you can take something that's very individualized like a device and make it, you know, viewable by everyone. So two projectors, what else?
Yep, definitely projectors. I have worked, as I told you, I'm in a low-tech situation. I've worked my way up to about six Apple devices now that I can use at stations, which took a while to build. But I think using some of your apps on there has been amazing. Balance It was really the first time I had even tried anything like that. It was a neat experience for the students to work together. Sometimes a little scary at first, too. For those of us in America, our culture is a little bit different here with some of the higher level things like that. So it was definitely eye-opening to see the students really enjoy something that they don't always get to do.
Sure, nice. I mean, Balance It has been an absolute wonder to just watch it get taken up by so many different schools in so many different places. And it's progressive, you know, it's designed to get more and more challenging. And it is great to sit and hear those stories too of people that have enjoyed it. It's a very simple task though. There's no rocket science in there, is it? Like it's an app, or you can print them out even. And it's just kids doing some activities. Like, I think sometimes the best things are simple. Would you agree?
Definitely. And that's the thing about technology is you want it to be functional, but also meaningful. And
sure.
I think some people use it just because it's shiny and new, which may not be the best way to go about it.
Shiny object syndrome, hey?
Yeah, definitely.
It's a real thing, you know.
It's tempting.
It is. And I've been guilty of it too. But, you know, I think the best stuff comes from simple and being mindful about what the purpose of it is. And that's, you know, that's the best place to start from. So we'll wrap up here with one final piece of advice, and it probably maps to any mistakes that you've ever made. Now, I've just put you on the spot here by asking this question, but have you ever gone to do something and it just hasn't been as taken up by the students as you might have hoped?
Well, I definitely think that I'm as a veteran and a military guy, really just trying to force my will on students.
Sure.
At any age level, just adding some choice and voice, which scares a lot of teachers still today.
Absolutely.
Giving kids a little more say in their learning definitely is something that I wish I had started a lot earlier, instead of trying to force everything on students that I thought would keep calm and organization in the classroom. But that's not always the best way to have learning.
Yeah. I mean, I love that the whole choice and voice concept is really powerful, but still very confronting for not just people that we work with locally, but it just seems to be a common theme. You know, there's a lot of the same problems and worries that people think will happen when they give handover choice, but in a lot of cases it works to be an absolute changer in terms of how they engage in that classroom. So I think it's worth exploring. Now, where can people follow up with the work that you're doing? Is there a best place to connect with you, or anywhere you go regularly?
Yeah, I'm definitely always floating around Twitter as FizEdDepot, and on the PE Central PE Central Facebook group.
Mm-hmm. And I know you mentioned Voxer as well. Is that a regular hangout?
Yeah, definitely on Voxer, which is the first place where I really got to connect with you.
It's a crazy Voxer. It's like a virtual staff room. That's how I think of it.
Enough can't be said about how powerful it is just to have a question or a need, or just to have those constant conversations with some amazing educators.
Yeah, it is. It is. It really is. And you also have a couple of different web presences as well.
I do. You have Nichols Phys Ed Depot on YouTube, where I have a channel trying to build it up and add a lot of cool things. Started off as a dance channel for my school at first, and I've expanded from there.
Wow. Awesome stuff. And we'll link to all of these different websites and social platforms in the show notes over at thepeergeek.com/92 for episode 92. And I definitely recommend reaching out and ask any questions that you have about gamification and how to get started. Because as I've mentioned, the way that you've sort of carved it out so that people can really achieve it is admirable. And I really want to thank you for that. So thanks for stopping by.
Thank you. It's been an honor to be here.
Absolutely. Speak soon, mate. Bye.
Take care.